Good evening and welcome to Checking In with Joe Ed of the show that's all about you. We had a glitch today and thank all of you for listening and holding on as Block Talk Radio work through their problems. Sometimes in life you have situations that are out of our control, but one thing is for sure, I like to say if you stay calm, if you stay cool and collective, things will work their way out. So thank you everyone for holding on and joining us this evening here on Checking In with Joetta, the show that is all about you. I often say if it's on your mind, then I want to talk about it. I am the host this evening, four-time Olympian, author, motivational speaker, and businesswoman, also known as Madam Olympian. Checking In with Joetta is an interactive show that will discuss topics with business and financial leaders, educators, sports legends, entrepreneurs, health and wellness advocates, and also social issues. So the call-in number today is 646-787-1680, 646-787-1680. We got a little late start, so those of you who are just joining us, thank you for coming on board. And those of you who were here at the top of the hour, thank you for holding on as Block Talk worked through their little glitch. I am Madam Olympian. I have a lot to say, but it's not about what I have to say. It's about what my guest has to say as well. We have a great show in store for you. Randall Jefferson of Tone and Tenor, the bipartisan voices of the people. He is a radio host at WWDB AM Talk 860. And we will talk to him today about social issues. So remember that call the number is 646-787-1680, 646-787-1680. And remember, if you have a comment or a question, press the number 1 so I know that you want to be part of this show. When I come back after this break, we're going to go straight to Randall Jefferson, who was on the line with us this evening. And we're going to move along quite quickly, so remember that calling number is 646-787-1680. And you're listening to Live, Checking In with Joetta, the show that is all about you. And if it's on your mind, then we want to talk about it. I'll be right back after this commercial break. The Matthew J. Moynihan Health Assessment Center for Athletes provides education, evaluation, and assessment of sports injuries and sports-related cardiac and concussion screening. You can find out more about the Matthew J. Moynihan Health Assessment Center by calling 973-322-7913. That's 973-322-7913. Or you can visit barnabashealth.org/Moynihan. That's barnabashealth.org/Moynihan. Horizon NJ Health is the leading Medicaid and New Jersey family care plan in the state and the only plan backed by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. They have great benefits for everyone who wants to be part of a fantastic family care plan. Visit horizonnjhealth.com or you can call 800-637-2997. That's 800-637-2997 to find out how you can become part of the Horizon NJ Health Medicare and Medicaid family. Good evening and welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Thank you for listening this evening and being part of the show. We had a little glitch at the beginning of the show, but it seems as though things are backing up and at them, and Blog Talk was able to make that correction on their end. So often in life we have issues and problems, and the idea that I always say is to stay calm and to stay cool and to stay collected, and that's exactly what I did as they worked through their problems. So thank you all for listening this evening and being part of the show. Remember, you can visit us at Joetta Olympian. That's my Twitter. And you can also visit at joettasportsandbeyond.com. And if you have to send an email, you can email us during the show at joettaevents joettaevents@yahoo.com. That's joettaevents@yahoo.com. Now, we talk about a lot of issues on this show, and this evening we have Randall Jefferson, who is going to be with us live and going to talk about topics that are very inspirational, very informative, and most important, we need to have you on the line, because without you on the line, we don't have a show. So remember, the caller number is 646-787-1680. That's 646-787-1680. And I'm going to now welcome Randall Jeffries to the show.
Hi, Joetta. This is Randall. How are you tonight? Hello?
Yes. And I hope you can hear me loud and clearly. We had a couple of glitches, and as you know, you're in radio.
Right. Yeah, I can hear you, but we're bouncing back and forward. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you live and clear on my end, so hopefully this sounds good as well. But we're going to work through everything this evening, and we have callers on the line. But before they come to the line, I want to talk a little bit about you. So if you don't mind, Randall, can you just give us a little update about what you do and who you are? And then we have some questions on my end that I want to ask you. And then we're going to go directly to these phone lines and talk about some of these topics that are of interest in all societies. And, Randall, I did talk about you being one of the co-hosts and producers of Tone and Tenor, which is a bipartisan Voices of the People radio show. And you talk about issues as well. So if you don't mind, Randall, just give us a little bit of background about who you are and why you started your radio show.
Thank you, Judd. First of all, thank you to you and thank you to your audience. And thank you for being a friend of our show. I actually have a background in finance and healthcare. And we started, and then I went on into politics. And what I found out as I was hanging out in Washington and getting my certification as a lobbyist was that we were getting a lot of misinformation over the airways from both sides of the aisle. And for about 2.5 years, my partner and I and some other folks pondered the idea of putting a show on that talked about politics from both sides, bringing both sides to the show, agreeing to disagree. Not only politics, but as you know, awareness about different diseases, things that are going on with people in their lives, and politics plays a part in it. And folks have to realize that, you know, I have this saying that if I'm going to deal with the idiots, I'm going to deal with the idiots in Washington that makes the decisions. And you know how hard it is right about now to make those idiots do anything. But, you know, with laying all jokes aside, a lot of them are my friends, both sides of the aisle, and they welcomed the opportunity for what we were trying to do with Tone and Tenor. I have to thank Al Burry, my co-host, and those at WWBB, BV Broadcaster Station, and Tim, our engineer. One thing about our show, we own it. So the only people we have to really answer to is the FCC and make sure we're doing what's right under the guidelines of the FCC. So that's a little bit, that's how we got started. We've enjoyed 2.5 years on the air and look to do several more. And, you know, I apologize if I'm breaking up a little bit. I'm actually, you know, as I told you, I'll be coming from New York. I'm almost to my destination. But I definitely was going to make sure that I got on your line and was able to talk to your listeners. Because one thing, you know, we can talk the talk, but we also have to walk the walk. And when folks reach out to me, I try to reach back and, you know, because you never know who you may need in this lifetime. And, you know, as I said, you've been a friend to us. You've been with us twice in studio and on air. So I really appreciate this opportunity, and thank you.
Well, you don't have to keep thanking me, because the reality is, without you on the show, we wouldn't be able to have these candid talks that we're going to have this evening. So my thanks go out to you, and you have a wealth of knowledge that we want to share with the audience. And before I go to these phone lines, remember, callers, when you call in, press the number one so I know that you have a question. You talked about something that's very important, Randall. I'm going to go off script a little bit because you brought this up at the forefront. You talked about ownership. You mentioned that you owned your radio station. So far, so often in the communities, we hear that we have a wealth of the African Americans have a wealth of finances, but we don't tend to spend it in our own backyards. We don't own as much as we should. We rely on other people. So if you can just speak to our audience, not about how and why you decide to own your radio station, but the importance of having ownership. And then after we talk about that, we're going to go to these calls. But if you could just talk about the importance of ownership and how you become a player if you own something.
Well, you know, just to correct you just a little bit, we own the show. We air over the Beasley Broadcast Alliance, which is WWDB AM Talk 860. And what's good about it is that I looked around, and I wanted to be able to have folks come on the show so that they would be able to give their views and not be intimidated by, you know, how we have stations that are owned by the right, stations that are owned by the left, and you can only bring this group or that group. Well, that does not educate the person. You know, I want someone to walk away at the end of our show, and, you know, and I know you want the same thing, as having a sense of knowledge and being able to make decisions for themselves, as opposed to the jumping and the screaming and saying, oh, wow, he sure sounded good. But when you take like an onion, Joetta, you peel an onion back, you know, you have several layers of an onion. You've got to get to that core, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why we do it, and that's why, you know, like you said, if we wanted to talk about black folks, you know, we had a seat at the table. We owned insurance companies. We owned hospitals. Philadelphia, from where I live, had one of the best black hospitals in the nation, but black folks didn't support it. They said they'd rather die at Penn than get well at Mercy Douglas. And Mercy Douglas closed in the 70s. So we had
I had to break in. I wanted to come in because that's part of cultural conditioning. When the culture has you thinking one thing in spite of the reality, and it goes back to education, when we were being buzzed into different areas, and they thought by busing us into other areas, we were going to, by osmosis, learn more. But the reality was that we were being bused, and we wanted to go to the other areas because they had the better schools, the better equipment, and we thought the better teachers. So I think it's part of cultural conditioning. And to your point, we tend to have a propensity to think everybody else is doing it better than we are. So that's why it's so important to own something, own property, as you mentioned, own insurance, be able to, and again, everyone can't own a company and do what we're doing, but even if you're working for someone, you have to be able to have ownership of your integrity, of your self-wealth, and that makes you a player in the game. What's your comment on that?
Absolutely. And what you said is very important to me. You know, integrity and ethics are two of the key things that I've learned throughout my life, and it was instilled in me by my parents and my grandparents and my great aunts. You know, I was always taught by my great aunt, who I really admired a lot, that stand up straight, walk straight, act like you belong, and keep on moving. And don't ever think that you're not as good as somebody else. And, you know, some of us have to run harder, we have to run faster, but, you know, if we have sit down and have that direction of what we want to do, you know, there's ways that people are put in place to help you do what you have to do. If you're sincere, if you have integrity, if you have ethics. And those are the key things to anything. I mean, even like you said, you don't have to own it, but if you have those characteristics, you'll go a long way.
And I think that what your grandmother told you about, you know, standing up tall, walking straight, belong, you know, no one's going to tell you that you can't. They may tell you that you don't belong, but you have to belong. You cannot doubt anyone. You cannot doubt yourself, and you can doubt other folks, but never doubt yourself. So you learned the lesson really early on. And then speaking to our youth about standing up tall, I look at our youth and our guys with their pants hanging down and the girls the way they're dressed and everyone trying to, some states are trying to enforce laws making it a crime and having you pay a fee of $200 if your pants are lower down. So I wanted to talk to you right now about this current state of America as it relates to race relations and our youth and how our youth are being treated and directed or misguided. But before I do that, I've got to take a quick break, and when I come back, we're going to address that point and take a couple of calls as well. Remember, the caller number is 646-787-1680, 646-787-1680. You're listening to Randall Jefferson here on Checking In with Joe Editor of the show. That's all about you. And when I take a break, I'm going to continue with this great dialogue that we have with him. So I'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Checking In with Joe Editor of the show. That's all about you. And Marvin Gaye asked that question, what's going on in 1977. Here it is, 2015, and we're still asking the same question, what's going on? So, Randall, before I go to the next caller, can you just tell me what do you think is going on as it relates to social injustices in the United States and race relations?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting subject. As I was told you earlier, when I talked to you, that I was going to go to New York, and that actually was what we were talking about, was the social injustices of what's going on in these United States. And I had the opportunity, and I'm humbled to say this, to meet Fred Gray Esquire, who was Dr. Martin Luther King's lawyer, and she's still pushing on, and the same questions are still being asked. What's going on? I think, as you said earlier, I think it's the programming. I think it's the rich want to stay richer, and there's nothing wrong with that, but somehow we as Americans have lost our way to big government. We're looking for more handouts than hand ups nowadays, and that's me speaking. But if you look at statistics, that's the way it is. And I just want to make a point that it's not, if we want to talk African-American, it's not just African-American, blacks, or what have you. It's also Caucasians. And think about it. There's more Caucasians in the United States than there is black. So there are more folks, if you look at statistics in the rural areas, there are more those folks in the rural areas looking for the same hand out instead of the same hand up. So I think what we've got away from, our music has you know, we've settled on women being called, we think it's cute. Our young people think it's cute that women being called out of their names. The women think it's cute that, you know, that they're running around half clothed, naked, you know, and they're turning more into baby factories and ruining their lives at a young age. And the young men. Go ahead.
Hey, that was... Go ahead, Randall.
No, I was just saying. And the young men just, you know, the young men are misguided and lack of direction, you know, and that what caused it? It's what you and I had in school. We had the sports, we had the music, we had people that cared, we had books. You know, I have to say that every time I watch your father, Lino, when they represent him and lean on me, it brings tears to my eyes because he cared about the young people. And, you know, we're so busy worrying about money. Where's money coming from? You know, and who's going to make more money that we forget about our young people?
And kind of winding down that segment, I'm going to take a couple of calls, but it really is important for us to realize that it, you know, race relations seems to be really strained. It seems to be a different set of rules for different sets of people. And
we've
always experienced that as the people coming over here many, many years ago. But I think we're in positions now, and it's more of us in positions to do more to make sure that our youth and our middle-aged people and our senior citizens are being represented correctly, and we're not doing that. So I'm holding myself and others a task here because this is very important, and the youth are our future. But as I always say, the future is right now. So right now I'm going to take a call on the last four digits of your number. That means we're speaking with you. So the call number is 646-787-1680. If you have a comment or question, remember to press number 1. And the first caller this evening will be caller 4110, caller 4110. Welcome to Check It In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question to Randall Jefferson? We're talking about social issues.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question was a personal question to him about how he got started, and I wanted to know, did you have any relatives that are involved in radio or in politics?
You know, no. I will be the first to tell you that radio was the furthest thing from my mind. I did, when I was in high school, I made it a point to be involved in student government. I was the vice president of the what we call the Philadelphia Student Union. I was mentored by a state representative that I really loved in stature, David P. Richardson. So, and basically he said the same thing, ethics and integrity. That's how I got involved with it. And it's something that politics to me is fun, but I never really, radio was not something I wanted, that I dreamed of doing. It'd be funny, in college I was a chemical engineer major. So figure that one out.
Well, Carl, did you have something regarding social issues that you wanted to talk about? This show is about social issues, and they have Randall Jefferson on the air, who has a wealth of knowledge in this topic. I don't know if you have something that you want to ask him on that topic.
Not at this time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Call it.
Thank you.
All right, the next caller will be caller 4483. Caller 4483, welcome to the show. You're on live with Joetta Clark Diggs, Madam Olympian, and Randall Jefferson. And the topic of discussion is, let's talk about social issues. We're talking about the way kids were raised. We're talking about the young men and young ladies, the way they're dressed. And Randall is talking about a political perspective. So do you have a comment or question regarding social issues or topics that you would like to speak about this evening?
Yes, how you doing, Madam Olympian, Ms. Clark? Thank you, Mr. Jefferson, for giving us this opportunity. I live in an area where a lot of the social issues are really came to a head. I'm in the St. Louis area. And just thinking about how did we get here, and that song that you played was just so appropriate. What's really going on? I have some ideas of what I think or maybe part of, and I just want to ask what your thoughts concerning it. A lot of, you know, when I look, and it's specific to the African-American culture. And so I'm asking, what's really going on? Why don't we have the economic opportunity that other people have? And is it, in my opinion, or is it just for your consideration, is it because we don't have what you have, what you've done? We don't have the spirit of entrepreneurship. We are being taught. We have been taught to go to school, get a good education so that you can get a good job, as opposed to go to school, get a good education so that you can be the creator of wealth. And so I think that is part of our situation. I just want to know what your thoughts concerning that.
Good question, Carla.
Good question. You know, the latter is I've heard the same thing. Go to school, get a good education, get a good job. But, you know, I think that's your first step, because then you start to learn what the corporate world, so to speak, if you're not in the nonprofit profit world or in the governmental world, you learn and you start to see how other people think. So it's like on-the-job training. And I feel like this is me, for me, that is where I got finally to the point. And I think we all have the capabilities of doing what we want to do, but we just have to make up our mind to do it. It's a fear. You know, you have to take that leap of faith. And I'm not saying that I did it right. I made mistakes, and we all make mistakes. But you have to learn from your mistake and surround yourself with the people that will keep lifting you up, and be bold enough to tell you, you're wrong when you're wrong, you're right when you're right. You know, I want to backtrack for 1 second, Joetta, if you don't mind. You know, I thought about something that one of the caller previously said. Well, part of our problem happened when they instituted the child abuse law. The child abuse law really came in effect because other folks couldn't handle their children. I remember having to go get my own switch, and it couldn't be brown, because if it broke, then you really got in trouble. You know, when we got punished, it was punished out of love. You know, some people say, no, you shouldn't beat your child. But there should be some form of punishment. And so that they understand that there is something better, that, you know, that it's out of love, you know. But the child abuse law.
I'm going to have to stop you on this, because it's a different point. And, you know, I was, you know, probably raised around the same time you were, so I'm sure some of the punishments that I received, you did as well. But I think today, I'm speaking for many people, myself included, is that where we discipline our children will be a little bit different than what we did when we were young, and when our parents were younger. But the bottom line is, I do agree with you that there has to be some type of punishment for the way the kids are behaving or not doing well in school. So I don't know if that means some taking away their phones, taking away their iPads and laptops and those devices. But I don't necessarily think that the only way to do it is to spank or be physical with your kid.
No, I'm not saying that, Joetta. No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Caller,
stay on, please, but let's get this straight. What were you saying? I misunderstood what you were saying.
What I was saying is, you know, that was how we were disciplined then, but we're
right.
in a different era. So they're smart. The children today are more technologically savvy. You know, you have to be on the level where what will be the right discipline. And I'm not saying abuse the child. I'm not saying spank them.
All right. No. Absolutely
you know,
not.
No.
Yeah. So you have
I'm
to
just
be,
saying
you have to find out what works for your child.
Right.
And your
what's
situation.
Best?
Right. Absolutely.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we.
Okay.
We don't know. I mean, we've got so many different angles. We got to remember that a lot of children or young people are their parents aren't that much older than they are.
Right. And that does cause a problem. Caller, thank you for asking that question. Did you have another
thank
comment
you.
Or question? You mentioned that you were in the St. Louis area and that you were, I guess, probably privy to things that were going on in Ferguson. And since Ferguson, there's probably been about six or seven other prominent cases that are going around here. But the one thing, caller, and I'm going to let – are you still there, caller 4483?
Yes, we're still here.
The one thing I would like to say before I say so long to you and to get your opinion, when I look at the different cases across the country, each city handled things differently. Ferguson exploded. Baltimore exploded. North Carolina did not explode. New York did not particularly explode. Los Angeles did not explode. So my question to you is that with the explosion and now that the media is gone, and I know this is not, you're not the guest on the show, but if you can just quickly, just give us a quick overview of what's going on down there now that the media is going and this case is still, it may still be out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the decision's been rendered, but the case is not over.
Here's what's really going on now. People are paying attention, and we're actually, I see the community take an active role in how to make change, and that's where I was really getting at. Now they're voting, they're moving in position, and I believe that's the first step, getting the right people in the right position, and then it's changing the attitude of the community, and that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Carl. Thank you for letting us know what's happening. And I'm going to take another call around. But before I do that, when I sit on different boards and I try and figure out what board, what committee I want to belong on, and what I find myself belonging on are those policy committees, those committees that are in charge of making policy and procedure. Because once you understand that, then you really can have a voice politically.
Absolutely. That's
Caller
true.
Caller 5815. Caller 5815. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta. This show today is about social issues, and we're talking to Randall Jefferson of Tone and Tenor, the bipartisan voice of the people. He's live with us, and we're talking about issues that deal with the community at large. So, do you have a comment or question that you would like to speak to us on?
I just have a statement, just a talk, rap, session type statement. I have I was in Jacksonville, Florida this past weekend, and I was in the mall, and I was walking next to a gentleman. He had his pants down to his thigh. He was showing all his underwear I didn't want to see, and no one else wanted to see. I came very, very close, very, very close. I was walking alongside of him for about 60, 70 meters. And I came very close to asking him, why did he think that's cool? And you know, nowadays, though, he might try and swing and do something and I have to go crazy myself. But so I backed off, but I wanted to because in this day and era, it seems like that's what you do and it's accepted. You commented on that, but I just want to know, would you have approached someone like that, young gentleman? And then and the other thing is I am old school, but I'm also intelligent and I have control and poise. I do believe in spanking a child. especially, I'm going to say, a young male, because it's so dangerous out here. If you don't get them going in the right direction, they're going to end up in jail. So I think the trade-off is worth it. But my son did
something.
Well,
hold on, caller. That's a good question. Randall, the question was, if you have seen, or if you have seen that young man with his pants down, I'm sure you experienced that as well. Do you comment?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have said something, or would you just let him continue to walk down the street?
You know, I have absolutely seen it, and I have actually, and I do comment, you know, because I think sometimes that those of us that are more seasoned need to just say, hey, young brother, you know, what are you going to do? You know, your pants hanging down, if you're looking for a job, you can't walk in with your pants hanging down. Let's pull them up. And let me give you something. My mother will be 80 years old. She still volunteered. She volunteered in Philadelphia at the Franklin Institute. And there was a young brother in there that was an intern at that time. And she went up to him, and she told him he had no belt on, pants falling down. She went up to him, told him, you know, she looked at it from a perspective that he looked like her. She found a piece of rope and gave it to him because he had no belt. And she explained to him the reason why he should keep his pants up. So every now when she sees him now, he's gone on to college, she sees him, said, Miss Jefferson, look, I got my belt on. So it did make a difference. You know,
right.
It does make a difference. Yes, you're going to get some young people that's all old head, you don't know what you're talking about or whatever. But there are going to be some that will say thank you in their own little way. So, yes, I will continue to do that.
Absolutely. And when I do my programs, caller, so you know, I work with kids of all backgrounds, urban, rural, suburban, white, black, Hispanic, Asian. And that behavior, that style of dress is not just privy to African-Americans as people might have you think. But my point here is that in my programs, I just had one the other day, and the young man had his pants down below, and you saw the designer underwear he had on. So I said, hey, Tommy. And he's looking at me, and I said, hey, Tommy. And he said, my name is not Tommy. He proceeded to tell me his name. I said, well, when you get your name on your underwear, then you can show me your underwear. Until that time, you pull them up your pants, because I don't want to see any other person's name besides yours hanging out your pants. So you have to let them know that it's not cool, and it's not even your name that you're showing.
Right.
So, you know, we have to let them know. And that goes back to ownership, and that also goes back to cultural conditioning. So thank you, caller, for those comments and sharing your experiences while you were down in Florida. Randall, you know, we've been, you know, talking about social issues, and there's one area that I want to just touch on before I take this next break, and this issue is something that I hear people talk about all the time, and that's the economy. You know, what do you think the economy, how do you feel about the economy, where it is now and where it was? And I get into different discussions with people, and I want to hear your viewpoints on the economy, let's say, 8 years ago and where it is now.
I will say the economy is still in recovery mode. Some folks have benefited more than others in the recovery mode. We're still out here fighting for equal pay for women. We're still fighting for livable wages. You know, you got to look at in the fast food industry, there was a time those jobs were for the young people that were in school, the 16-year-olds that got their working papers. We now see folks that have been downsized or taken out of their jobs and made good money are now in those positions. And it's not their fault, you know. So it's what has happened. And, you know, we have organizations fighting for livable wages. And what we do have, and I'm glad to see, we're starting to bring back manufacturing jobs into the United States. You know, we're starting to reverse NAFTA. and bring back those jobs we sent overseas. So we're in recovery. Are we there? No. We still have a long way to go.
And thinking about a long way to go, Orlando, I look at a different policy, just, you know, and I look at different procedures, and I look at what they're trying, people in power, because that's what it's all said and done. Only a small amount of people rule the masses, and the different policies that they're trying to enact. And I think that you mentioned something that's very important. In order for, you know, these companies that are making all this money, and they really believe that the young people or people that are older really would like to live on minimum wages or a wage that is not even enough to do much on, they would rather do that than to get paid the better wage so they can be taken off of some of these subsidies. But the bottom line is, what happens is a lot of times people get caught up in every financial group, if you will, has set aside, but we call it different things. And because we've been culturally conditioned to think that the welfare, the assistance that the urban people may get is not the same as the set aside, and the recovery that some of the corporate and the more affluent people get is all in the same thing. And I think that what this country has to do and do a better job of doing it is not be divisive as much and not acting as if it's not enough for everybody to go around. So with that being said, if you had to talk to a big organization about minimum wage, could you just give a one line as to why you think that price should definitely increase?
Well, the first thing I would say, if we raise minimum wage, then we've got a bigger taxpayer. The person can go out there and buy goods and services, and they'll be able to have a sustainable living, and the money will be spread all around. I mean, that's simple as all of that. I mean, it's basic economics. If supply and demand, if you don't have somebody that wants to demand and there's no supply, they can't afford it, then we got problems. You know, and then our young people are resorting to other means of making money.
Right. And speaking of our young people and them having other ways that think of other ways to make quick money and not to have it sustainable, when you listen to that song that the kids listened to many years ago and they still play it now, it's this song with Tupac. So I want to go to a quick break with this song and then get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
And that's Tupac talking about him against the world. A lot of young people feel that way. And believe it or not, a lot of the older people feel that way, too. They feel as though, even in the corporate world, that is them against the world, no matter how much education they have, no matter how much money they have, they still feel as though it's them against the world. So I think to your point is that when we look at the social issues, I can't speak enough to the fact that you need to get an education, and that's the new currency. So often, you know, people don't think of the importance of continually getting education, transforming, and Randall, as you know, not everyone is going to graduate from a community college or a four-year college to get other degrees, but there are other skill sets that need to be developed. And, you know, masonry work, electrical work, and these are all great jobs to have. Mm-hmm. But as I was talking to some older people, they were like, well, within the next 3 or 4 years, the people my age won't want to do this, but we don't have anyone else to deal with that piece in the infrastructure part of what's going on. So did you have a comment as it relates to what career would you suggest someone goes into a young person to go into? Would you advocate history and go into colleges to study black history, or would you rather talk to them about having careers and paths of education that would be relevant within the next 10 to 12 years?
Well, I think that one, and you hit the nail on the head when you said it, everybody's going to go to a four-year university or college. But, you know, but we still need our skilled laborers. We still need those that work with bricks and mortar. We still need the electricians. We still need the plumbers. Those jobs aren't going away. And those jobs pay good money. The construction workers are the building skyscrapers. There needs to be a balance, and we need to understand that everybody, yes, the technological fields are going to boom, but will they tank out in years to come? You know, what will happen? We're still going to need those skilled workers, and I think that's what our educational institutions, meaning high schools, got away from, the vocational schools. We don't have too many of those that where you learn automotive mechanics and learn how to do your plumbing and electricity. So I think that, you know, I can't say go to this job or go to this college. I think it's what's best for that individual. And they may not want to go to college, but there are alternatives, and they still would make a very good living.
Right, and that goes to my point where you say your mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. So we have to have open minds and make sure that we are learning wherever we are, and education doesn't stop after high school, after college, after all your degrees. And you have to remain relevant, and that's what it's all about. Well, I have one more question before we take our last caller, and this question is a question about what do you think your show, you have the radio show Tone and Tenor, and that show can be found on WWDB AM Talk 860 on Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So what do you think that your show, what kind of impact has your show had on the community?
Our feedback is that we have a format that people like, you know, because what I said earlier is we want folks to agree to disagree, but at the end of our show, we feel good when someone has actually was able to learn something, or they open their mind a little more. And it's not what Randall says, it's not what Al says. We're giving you the facts. You know, we're giving you, and it can be substantiated. You know, we've done the research. We're giving you knowledge is power. And that is what we got to get back to, is increasing our knowledge base. And that's what we're trying to do.
And, you know, and you said that very eloquently, increasing the knowledge base. Knowledge is power. Education is the new currency. And I think that listening to your show and being on your show, that's exactly what you do. So for those people who want to reach out to you to have you come speak and to utilize your services or to be on your show or just make a comment, can you give them some contact information so they can contact you? You have a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure our listeners would love to have you come in and utilize your services. And it's a business, as we all know. So he has a service, and he has the expertise. And if you can give us a number or a tweet or email for them to contact you, or even your website, that would be really great. So, Randall, could you tell us that?
Well, you can find us at our Twitter is at Tone and Tenor, TONEANDTENOR. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/ToneTenor. All of our shows, all of our guests, everybody's on there. And what I really am happy about is our website will be up and running in the next 2 weeks. and it's being built by one of our guests.
Okay.
It's being built by a nonprofit organization that actually, when I say we give back, we give back. I said, why should I pay a for-profit organization to build our website when a nonprofit organization is, this is the way they are sustaining and helping young people. So we chose to pay HopeWorks in Camden to build our website, and it's a phenomenal website that will be up. It will be www.toneandtenor. Now, listen to this, folks. Toneandtenor.media. Something that you haven't heard. So when it's up, it'll be Tone and Tenor, www.toneandtenor.media. We are probably the first in the area.
I can say we're running out of time, so we can't really expand more about why you did the dot media. But listeners in the audience, do some research and find out why he possibly chose that opportunity to do media that way. And I have an announcement to make as well. We have a new product coming out, and it's called Eliminate Excuses. It comes out on June. On June the 7th, which is this Sunday, and it will have hats and shirts and items like that and water bottles, and also Eliminate Excuses will be in school districts and communities across the country, and we'll talk about ways to eliminate excuses. So make sure you tune into my website, which is joettasportsandbeyond.com, to find out how you can become part of the Eliminate Excuses movement. And without much more time, you know, we can talk forever. I'd love to have you come back when we do have more time.
Not a problem.
But thank you, Randall, for being part of
the show
this evening, and you who are, and we look forward to hearing more about what you have to say in the future, and good luck to you with all that you do in and around the community. And I'd like to say to everyone, you've been listening to Joetta Clark Diggs, checking in with Joetta, the show that's all about you. And as I always say, it doesn't matter what road you take, but what matters most is what you become along the journey. Thank you for taking the journey along with us this evening, and we'll see you again next time here on Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you.
Okay.
Where's the